Station in the Daf Yom is Gemara and Sota, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We begin three lines from the top with the words, Omar Rava Bar Rav Huna. Now we're going to be discussing something about davening and laning in shul, and this doesn't seem to be related to the duchening directly. So many suggest that this is because at the end of this first statement, we're going to have a statement from Rav Zera Amar Rav Chista, and then we'll have several other statements in today's shiur from Rav Zera Amar Rav Chista or from Rav Chista, and that's the connection why this is here, albeit it still is related to the davening, so therefore it's not inappropriate that it's over here. In any event, we're getting three lines on the top, Lamatev, Sinav Aleph, Amar Rava Barav Huna. Rava, who is the son of Rav Huna, as opposed to the standard Rava that we have, this is Rava Barav Huna, he tells us, Kivin she niftach sefer Torah, osul usaper afilu bedvar halacha. Once they open up the Torah, now Rashi has the idea that when you open up the Torah, it's talking about Kishi Hischil. This is from a pasuk in Ezra, and he says once they started to lay. Others suggest, no, it means just when they open up the Torah, so obviously this is a time of more solemnity, this is a time that one has to have proper cover of the Torah, and therefore, also l'sape, you're not allowed to talk even, afilu b'dvar halacha, even learning. You're not allowed to talk in learning once they're starting the laning, once they're about to go and start the laning. So this is based upon a pasuk, shenemar, a pasuk that we have from Nehemiah, right? So Rashi points out, it's from Ezra. We have to know that in the formal codification of the 24 Sefer Tanakh, there is no Sefer Nehemiah. Nehemiah is really part of Ezra. In any event, we refer to it as Nehemiah. Our printers, our editors, they divided up Sefer Ezra into Ezra and Nehemiah. In any event, this pasuk tells us, the whole pasuk is, Vayiftach Ezra ha-Sefer le'enei cholo'am. Ezra opened up the Sefer Torah in front of everybody, Kimial Kol Am Haya, he was standing above everyone. And here's the part that we bring down. Now, our girsa in the Gemara is Ubefischo. However, that's not the girsa that we have in our Tanakhs, and we have the girsa V'chifischo Amdu Kol Am Uchifischo. When he opened it up, so that's when all the people stood. Now, the Ein Amido Elo Shesika. This standing over here doesn't actually mean standing up. Albeit, this is the source of the custom for people to stand during the laning. It's a wonderful thing for a person to stand during the laning, but it's not an obligation to do so. It's an extra cover for the Torah, but many people sit during the laning. It's difficult to stand for the entire laning. Those that do, it's based upon this pasuk, which does say that they stood with Fischo when they opened up the Torah, Amdu Kolam, but that's not what the words actually mean. The word means, the Gemara tells us, in Amida El Shesika. It means over here that they stood silently, meaning that they could have sat or stood in silence. In other words, they paid attention. You're not allowed to even talk to Ivrei Halacha once the Torah is being laned or once the Torah is even opened up. Now, how do we know that the word v'amdu doesn't mean that they stood, that it means that they were silent? But this is based upon a pasuk in Iyov, Shenemar. V'hochalti ki lo yedaberu ki amdu lo anu od. So, I waited. V'hochalti means I waited. They didn't speak. They stood in silence and didn't say anything else. Lo anu od. So, therefore, we see the word ki amdu means they were silent. So that's the drasha that we have, that a person is not allowed to even learn Torah once the Sefer Torah is opened up and being laned. Rabbi Zeira Amar Chista, and this is again why I mentioned, we have a statement over here from Rabbi Zeira Amar Chista, we'll have many other such statements, that's why this Gemara is over here. So he says, Mehacha, we know this din from the following. It says, Va'ozne cholo'am el Sefer HaTorah. It says, also, pasuk in Nehemiah, in Ezra, it says, and all of the people, they paid attention. Ozne cholo'am el Sefer Torah. They listened carefully to the Sefer Torah. In other words, they didn't go and do something else, such as talking. Now, we have in Tosus over here, Kivon Sheniftach Sefer Torah, so he tells us that this seems to go against a Gemara elsewhere. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Rav Sheshes would turn away when they were laning, and he would go learn halacha. So Tosus asks, how do you reconcile that with our Gemara? So two reconciliations that are given is, one, Rav Sheshes was blind. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef are two blind Amoraim that we find mentioned many times, and they're often halachos that are related to the fact that they were blind. So technically, Torah Shebichsav is only allowed to be learned inside. A blind person technically cannot learn Torah Shebichsav. So Rav Sheshes says, I can't learn Torah Shebichsav, so he had to turn away to show and demonstrate that he was doing something else because he wasn't supposed to be involved in Torah Shebichsav. Others suggest, Tosa says, that Rav Sheshes was unique. He was Torasu Umnasu. He was such a Talmud Chacham. He was spending all his time learning. So when they were laning, it would, so to say, be something that would take him away from learning. So therefore, he went and turned away to show that I'm not with that group, I'm with this group, I'm with what I'm doing, which is learning Torah. Okay. In any event, the Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Rav Shuvan Levi, another statement, we had many statements yesterday from Rav Shuvan Levi, here's another member from Rav Shuvan Levi, called Kohen Shalom Notel Yadav Lo Yisos Kapav. If you don't go and wash your hands before you duchen, you shouldn't go and duchen. Rashi implies over here, in Dibra Maskel Shalom Notel Yadav, Lifnei Oloso Leduchen. This means immediately prior to duchening, which is the minug that the Kohanim have. Tosus brings down, Dibra Maskel Kol Kohen, he says he had a different gears in Rashi, which he says was actually added in by one of Rashi's Talmidim in error, and that was Im Notal Yodov Shachris Vinitar Kohen Ain Tzorech Lito Yodov Kishola Leduchen. This Talmud put in something which is, by the way, the halacha bidyeved, that if the Kohen washes his atilas yadayim by shachris, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, that if he in fact was careful, so sometimes I have a situation where, for example, if the Kohen's the chazan, he's going to duch, and he can't go and wash his hands in the middle of the chazaras hashatz, so then he relies upon the atilas yadayim that he did before the davening, the atilas yadayim did on entering into shul, or in a situation where there is no water there, so they washed the Tilas Yadayim at home, and then would come to shul, and they were careful that their hands were clean, so then they didn't have to go and wash their hands before duchening again. However, l'chatchila, as Tosfos brings down, this was a mistake that one of Rashi's Talmidim put in, albeit that is the halacha b'dieved, Rashi Shita, as we have in our Rashi's over here, is that the Kohanim have the minhag that they go and wash their hands right prior to duchening. It's an interesting discussion. What about the Levim? The Levim have to wash their hands before they wash the Kohanim's hands. So there, many posts say that the Levim can rely upon the Netilas Yadayim that they did prior to Shacharis, and they don't have to go and wash their hands again when they go and wash the hands of the Kohen. Interesting there. Okay, so Rav Shimon Levi tells us that if the Kohen doesn't go wash his hands at some point in time, preferably right before the duchening, but as long as he knows his hands were tar from the Netilas Yadayim Shal Shacharis, that would be acceptable, so he shouldn't go and duchen if his hands aren't clean. Why is that, Shenemar? Because we have a pasuk from Tehillim that tells us, Sui Dechem Kodesh Uvarchu Es Hashem. Go lift up your hands and go bless HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore, one should go and make sure that his hands are clean prior to doing so. So this is analogous to the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that the Kohanim had to do. They had to wash their right hand and the right foot, their left hand and the left foot before they did any of the avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosus points out, at the very end of the Tosus Dibra Masel Kol Kohen, he says that there is a custom that you should make sure that you don't walk more than 22 amma from the place that you washed your hands until whatever you're doing, if it's eating or if it's doing the duchening. However, this isn't always possible, and certainly be the evidence acceptable if there's a longer walk. In addition, by the way, I should point out that some people have the custom that they say this pasuk Sui Dechem Kodesh Uvarchos Hashem, and some add another pasuk from a different kapitel in Tehillim, from kapitel Kuf Yotes, Vasachape Yal Mitzvasecha Shahavti Vasicha B'chukecha. So there are some that say this right before they go and wash the Tilas Yadayim. Okay, in any event, this is the din that a person has to go and wash their hands before they go and duchen. We find this throughout Shas, that many of the Tanaim and Amoraim were asked what to they attribute their longevity. They lived very long lives, some of them, and the Talmidim would often ask them, what attributes did you have that you think were the cause of your living such a very long life? So this was asked by the Talmidim to Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. To what do you attribute the very long life that you have? And he answered them with three things. And as we find throughout Shas, when they answer these things, they're often telling us a din, but they're telling us a hidur in the din. The basic din, so everybody's supposed to do that, but they're telling us some additional hidur din. So Amal Hen, so Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua said, the following three things I was very careful about. Miyom Ailo Asisi Beis HaKnesses Kapandario, others pronounce it Kapandria. I, in all my life, never made a shortcut through the shul. Now, the basic din is you're not allowed to go and make a shortcut through the shul. So how could you think that this would be allowed, and why would you think that he attributes his long life to this? So the answer is that under certain circumstances, you are allowed to make the shul into a shortcut where it's halachically allowed. So you are allowed to do that. However, he was extremely careful for Kavod Beis HaKnesses that he wouldn't even make the shul a shortcut in situations where one was permitted to go and make the shul into a shortcut. Now, what is this word, kapandario or kapandria? So Rashi tells us it means a shortcut. Lekatzer darcho derech beis haknesses, to cut through the shul in a fashion that you go from one side of the shul to the other side of the shul when you didn't need to be in the shul. Now, if a person is davening in shul and he comes in on the entrance on the east side and then he leaves in the entrance on the west side, so he also made the shul a shortcut, so to say, but obviously that was permitted. He went into the shul to daven and he's allowed to leave by a different exit than the one that he came in. But here we're talking about to go and make the shul into a shortcut. Likones v'pesach zeh, but Allah says, connect though, just for the purpose of cutting sitting through the shul. What does the word kapandaria or kapandria mean? Loshul kapandaria. The first brachos morning rosso. Brachos tells us, Rashi tells us, adama kifna adre eol baha. I will basically go around over here instead of going around. I will go through the shul. Okay. In any event, this is something that a person should not do. And under all circumstances, you're not allowed to do it when it's aser. But here, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua didn't even do this when it was halachically permissible to do so. That's point number one that he said he attributed his long life to. Number two, Velo pasati al roshe am kodesh. I never stepped on the holy people. Now, nobody's allowed to step on people. You're not even allowed to walk over people. So what does this mean that he was attributing his longevity to? So Rashi tells the Ibn Mas, Velo pasati, he says, the Talmidim would be sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, al gabi karka. They would sit on the floor. And then, v'abahalik b'neim, if somebody wanted to come in and go to the front, to go to their place, under normal circumstances, they would have to, quote, step over them. They would take large steps. They wouldn't literally put their feet on their heads, but they'd have to step over them. If somebody came in a little bit late, and he therefore wanted to get to his place, so he'd have to, quote, step over them. He took large steps, or he took a long jump, so to say, to go over them. And this is a lotion of poseya, pasati. The nira kimefasei our shame. It looks like he's stepping over the heads, and therefore lefikoch tzorich lahakdim o yeshiv lo mibachutz. So Elazar ben Shemua tells us, I always came early. I was always the first one in the Beis Medrash, so I didn't have to step over anybody else to get to my place up front. And therefore, that was a thing that he had such covered for the other people that he wouldn't step over them. Or, as Rashi points out, if you come late, so stay outside. Don't step over the people. So Elazar ben Shemua said, I never stepped over the people. That was the second thing that he attributed his longevity to. The third thing is, related to our Gemara here now, Velo nasasi kapai below brocha. I never duchened. He was a kohen, Rashi tells us. He never made the duchening without making a bracha. Now, obviously, today, all the Kohanim always make a bracha. However, it seems that it was somewhat optional in those days. So he was always medaktik to go and specifically make a bracha whenever he would go and duchen. Now, what bracha did he make? My mevarach. So, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Chisda. Here's another statement in the name of Zeira, in the name of Rabbi Chisda. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshanu Kedushas Shel Shel Aaron, Tzivon Baruch Hazam Yisrael, Biyahava. So, this is the standard bracha that we know the Kohanim make in Duchening. So, he would always be medakti to go and do this. The Kohanim are stating that they are blessed with being Kohanim. They have the Kedusha of Aaron, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Aaron and his children, the Kohanim, the ability to bless Chai Yisrael. The word Biyahava is a very interesting word. Why Bedavka is the word Biyahava? Ava mentioned over here. So many suggest that the people, the Kohanim, have to go and bless Klai Yisrael b'Ava. It can't be something that they do begrudgingly. It won't work. They have to do it b'simcha gedol. That's one of the reasons. B'Ava, it has to be with great love that the Kohanim say the word b'Ava in the bracha. Once heard from Reshef to Shlita, he had heard in the name of a gadol, who I don't remember who suggested that the word bi'ava was actually a kinui for the yud kei vav kei. The word ahava, aleph hei vav hei, is similar to the word yud kei vav kei, and therefore they would say the Shema Kadosh b'beforish in the duchening in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore bi'ava meant they would use the yud kei vav kei word in the Beis HaMikdash. In any event, he, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, never ever duchened without making the bracha. That's the third thing that he attributed his longevity to. Now the Gemara continues and tells us, ki okar kare, when the coin goes, as we said, towards the duchening, as we learned yesterday during the bracha of Ritzeh, he has to at least start going towards the duchen to go and prepare for the duchening, so he has to move during the bracha of Ritzeh up towards the bima, up towards the front. So when he's moving his legs, my omer, what should he say? We don't want him to waste his time. He says a little tefillah. So what does he say at that point in time? So there's a hiratzon. You find this in many sidurim. Some sidurim, some achzorim actually have that the tzibur says a similar hiratzon. We'll see the hiratzon that the Kohanim say, and I'll show you what some suggest that the Yisraelim say as well. So it says, hiratzon mefonech shem okenu should be a will HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shetehei bracha zu, that this bracha that I'm about to bless Klai Yisrael, shet tzivi sonu levarech sam Klai Yisrael, which you told us, we Kohanim have to go and bless Klai Yisrael, lo yehei ba michshol va'ovon. It shouldn't have any problem with it. It shouldn't be a michshol, it shouldn't be a stumbling block, it shouldn't be a sin, va'ovon. And some suggest that that is the additional words that they say. Now, some have the girsa that the Yisraelim, when the Kohanim are going up, again, there's a machlokas when the Kohanim say this. Some suggest they say this while they're going up. Others suggest that they say this right before they start duchening. In any event, there is gears that it's brought down, that the Israelim should say, Yiratzon l'fanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetei bracha zu shetzivisa kohanim l'vorech hasamcha Yisrael l'yebo shum milchshol v'ovon me'atov yad olam. Or some gears are similar to that. It's a beautiful thing for the people to realize that all the brachas come not from the kohanim, but from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In any event, they would say this Yiratzon. Now, v'chi mahader apei mitzibura, when the kohanim were turned away from the tzibur at the end of Birchas Kohanim, remember, they in the middle of the bracha, they turn around and face Klal Yisrael. They start off saying the bracha facing towards the Aron Kodesh, away from Klal Yisrael, their backs are to Klal Yisrael. Then in the middle of the bracha, they turn around, their hands are raised, and they go and conclude the bracha while they're facing Klal Yisrael. And then, as we pointed out in the previous year, Klal Yisrael is facing them, they're facing Klal Yisrael. We go through the duchening process, the three psukim, and then at the conclusion of the third psuk, pasuk, with the conclusion of the tzibur saying amen, and the chazan starting sim shalom, then they're allowed to go and turn their faces back towards the Aron Kodesh. And they turn away from Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara tells us, when they're turning away from the Tzibur, my Omar. What would they say then? They would make another little tefillah then. So, Adbre Rav Chisda or Rav Ukva. So while Rav Chisda was walking with Rav Ukva, with the word the Adbre, we have many places, Rashi elsewhere tells us that it means hinhigu umitayil imo bimavo sa'ir. They would go together walking in the alleyways of the city, so the younger Talmud would support the older Talmud. In any event, that's the word adbere. Adbere Rav Chisda, Rav Ukva, while Rav Chisda was walking with Rav Ukva, supporting him, Bedarash, they were sitting and talking, they were talking, walking and talking and learning. Bedarash, he said, this is what the Kohanim would say. They would say, Ribono Shalom, Asinu Masha Gazar Dolenu. We, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have done what you asked us to do. You told the Kohanim, you have to go bless Klal Yisrael. So the Kohanim say, yes, we did what you said that we should do. So I say, Imanu, so please do for us. And we turn to Lama Tesla Mibes, Mashiv Tachtanu. So please do for us exactly what you said you would do for us. And then they bring down a pasuk from Dvarim, Hashkifa Mimon Kachicha Min HaShemayim. Go look down at us from your holy place in Shemayim, the Gomer, and go and give us the bracha. The rest of the pasuk is Hashkifa Mimon Kachicha Min HaShemayim, Vorech HaSamcho Yisrael, Eso Adamo, Asher Nasat Lono, Kasher Nishpat Lovosenu, Eretz Vavaz, Chalav Udevash. So they're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised you would go and bless us, so please, through us, the Kohanim, please bless Klal Yisrael as you said that you would do. So that's the little tefillah that they would say after Duchni. So they said a little Yiratzon before Duchni, and they said a little Yiratzon after Duchni. And they would try to conclude this Yiratzon after Duchni with the conclusion of the bracha. So the Amen that the people answer to the Chazan's bracha would also be answering Amen to the bracha of the little tefillah of the Kohanim. Now, let's just turn back to Lama Tesla Manala for one moment. There's an important Tosis at the bottom of the page, at the bottom, Tosis Chli Mahader. So Tosis tells us the order of the Nesias Kapayim, which is pretty much what I went through a little bit right now. There are a couple of dinim that we're going to learn on Lama Tesla Mabez that Tosis goes through as well, and I'll just give an overview of that, and that is that whenever anybody makes a bracha, so this would be true for Chazar Sashatz, this would be true for other brachos, so when the person finishes the bracha, so the Tzibra answers Amen, and if the person is making another bracha, so let's say in Chazar Sashatz, there's the 19 brachos of Shmon Esrei, so you finish off Chonein Ados, the Tzibra answers Amen, so you can't start the next bracha until the Tzibur answers Amen. And the Tzibur shouldn't answer Amen until the Chazan has totally finished the first bracha that he's making, and the second bracha, etc. And that same thing applies over here with Duchening. When the Chazan finishes off his bracha, so then the Kohanim are called up. We discussed this in yesterday's shir, how they're called up. Somebody says Kohanim, or the Chazan says Kohanim, and then the Kohanim make their bracha. So they shouldn't start making the bracha until the word Kohanim has been fully said. Then they make the bracha, and the people shouldn't answer Amen until the Kohanim totally finish off their bracha. And then the Chazan, when he says the first word, Yivarechecha, so he shouldn't say that until they have finished saying Amen. And the Kohanim shouldn't say Yivarechecha themselves until the Chazan finishes saying Yivarechecha. So each person, each group, has to make sure that the other group before them has finished what they're doing before they start the next step. And this is true not only for Duchli, this is true for the parts of the davening as well. Then the middle of this Tosos, he brings down from the Shiltos, and he says that there is a halacha that a Kohen was worshipped Avodah Zarah, and a Kohen who has killed somebody, even accidentally, is not allowed to go in Duchen. And Tosfos brings out a very interesting machlokes, what happens if he did tshuva? So a Kohen who unfortunately became an apostate Jew and he worshipped the Avodah Zarah, and then Baruch Hashem, he was chosen b'tshuva. So can he go back to Duchen or not? This was a shaila that came up, unfortunately, many times with the Moranos and with other people that were forced to be conversos. They were forced to become Ovid Avodah Zarah, but they never really wanted to, or even if they did, but then they were chosen b'tshuva. So Tosfos brings down an interesting machlokes as to whether we allow them to or not. So one opinion is no, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and just like if the even Kohen killed accidentally, he's not allowed to Duchen, so too, if they ever worship the Avodah Zarah, they can't go back and do tshuva and worship and become Kohanim again because they worship the Avodah Zarah. But then Tosfos brings down a very important idea. He says, if you don't let them come back to be Kohanim, they're going to be forever embarrassed. They're going to be in shul, and everybody knows that they're a Kohen by birth, and there's going to be a tremendous busha uchlima. Tosfos says, these bali tshuva, yomru, oi, la'osa busha, oi, la'osa uchlima. Everybody knows you're a Kohen. The guy's name is Kohen. And he's not going up to Duchen. Everybody says, hey, you're a Kohen. Why aren't you Duchening? Ah. Oh yeah, that's right. You worshipped once Avodah Zarah. So it's going to be a tremendous busha uchlima, and guess what? They're going to say, I'm not going to do tshuva. If that's what's going to happen to me, that I won't be able to be a Kohen, I'm not going to do tshuva. So it would actually prevent them, chas v'shalom, from doing tshuva. So therefore, Tosfos brings down the second opinion that says we in fact do let them go. If they were chosen to be tshuva, we do let them go and duchen again. Mark continues back on Lama Tesla Mibes. Omer Reb Chista, Eina Kohanim, Rashoim, Lokov, Kishrei, Esbiosehen, Ach Yachzu, Pneim, Min Hatzibor. The Kohanim can't go and undo their fingers from the Kohen position of blessing. We know the Kohen position of blessing, you have the two pinky and the ring finger, they're separate, they're held together, separate from the middle finger and the pointer finger, you have the space in between them, then the thumb is separate, the two thumbs are held touching each other, then there's a space between the other thumb and the pointer finger and middle finger, and then another space, and then you have the last ring finger and pinky on the other side. And you have a total of five spaces. You have the two spaces in between the pinky and ring finger and the middle finger and pointer finger, so that's on the left and the right. Then you have the space in between the pointer finger and the thumb on the right. You have the space between the pointer finger and the thumb on the left, and then the space underneath the two thumbs. And there are Kabbalistic reasons for why we have these spaces and why this is done in this fashion, but in any event, the fingers are outstretched. And while the Kohanim are giving the bracha, they are having their fingers outstretched. They're only allowed to turn around, Reb Chista tells us, and put back their hand into the normal position, to bend their fingers if they wish, and to make a fist. Only Ach Yachzu Pneim Min HaTzibur, when they're no longer facing the Tzibur, after they finish the brachos for the Tzibur, the Duchni, the three psukim, they have had the Kahal answer Amen to them, the Chazan has started Sim Shalom, now they can turn back around, and only once they're turned away from the people can they unstretch their fingers, they can clench their fingers, their fist, if they wish to. Now, that is the din that Rav Chista tells us. Amar Rabbi Zera Mechisa, Rav Zera tells us a number of additional dinim in the name of Rav Chista, and Akore Rashai Likros Kohanim, Ach Yichle Omim Piatziba. This is what I mentioned before, the bottom Tosus on Lama Tesimut Aleph, he went through a lot of this outside, and here we now will see it inside. The one who's calling out Kohanim, either a person in the Tzibur, we'd said yesterday the Machlokis, some say this should be a Kohen who does this, but our minhag is not. Our minhag is that Yisrael calls it out, or that the Chazan calls it out, as we discussed yesterday. So, Ein HaKorei Rashoi Likros Kohanim, the one who's calling out Kohanim, is not appropriate to do, call out the Kohanim, Achi Yichle Amein Mipi HaTzibur, until the Tzibur has finished answering Amein to the Bracha Toshim Cha Ulucha Noel Yodos. So the Tzibur answers Amein, and only at that point in time, once the Amein is done from the entire Tzibur, then they're allowed to call out Kohanim. Now, what happens if somebody drags out the Amein? You're really not supposed to do that. So the din is, you're really supposed to wait until everybody has finished saying Amein. The Tzibur should know they shouldn't drag out the Amein. Some people sometimes drag out an Amein very long. It's inappropriate. And the person who's calling out Kohanim should wait till everybody's done, at least ideally. Otherwise, he can really be Yotze by saying it when most people have finished an appropriate amount of time. In any event, that's what you have to do. In a Kori, Rashi Likros Kohanim, you don't call out Kohanim, Ach Yichle Amein Piatziba, until the Tzibur is finished, all the Tzibur is finished saying Amein to the Bracha, Toshu Chol Chol Eli Yodos. In a Kohanim, Rashi Likros Bracha, and the Kohanim shouldn't start saying the Bracha of Birchas Kohanim, Ach Yichale Dibur Mipiakori, until the person who's called out Kohanim has finished saying Kohanim. Sometimes people are in such a rush to do it, they say Kohanim, and all of a sudden, before they even finish saying Kohanim, the Kohanim are starting to say the bracha. That's incorrect. They should wait until Kohanim has been fully said. And likewise, when Tzibur Rashoi Lanos Amein, the Tzibur shouldn't answer Amein to the bracha of the Kohanim, Achet Yichle Bracha Mipiak Kohanim, until all the Kohanim have finished saying Biyahava, and then, when it's nobody saying it, then you say Amein. Again, the Kohanim have to try to coordinate so they're not all saying Biyahava at different times. Haskel Biracha Cheres, and the Kohanim can't begin saying the next word of the Pasuk or the next Pasuk. So they should wait until the Tzibor has finished saying Amen. So Yivrech Hashem Yishmecha, the Tzibor answers Amen. So then Chazan can call out, Yoer of Yoer Hashem Panomelecha V'Yichunecha. So again, each time, the Gemara just gives the parts that we say at the conclusion of all the Pesukim, Yivrech Hashem Yishmecha, that Amen. But after Yivrechecha, the same thing applies. When the Chazan says Yivrechecha, so the Kohanim shouldn't really start saying Yivrechecha until the Kohen is finished, and the Kohen should finish saying Yivrecha only then, when the Kohanim have finished saying Yivrecha, should the Chazan say Hashem's name, and vice versa, back and forth throughout all the words of the brachos. The first pasuk has 3 words, the second pasuk has 5 words, the third pasuk has 7 words. Again, the Kabbalistic ideas behind all of this. Gemara continues another statement, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chisda, from Rav Zeira, in the name of Rav Chisda, and according to Rashi, Lachzu Pneim Al HaTzibur, Min HaTzibur. Kohanim aren't allowed to go and turn towards the Aron Kodesh after they finish giving the brachos to the Tzibur. Ad Shiaskel Shliach Tzibur B'Sim Shalom. As I already mentioned, the Chazan has to start the next bracha in the Chazaras Hashatz, the final bracha, Sim Shalom. So then they can go and turn around. They shouldn't turn around before he starts doing that. And likewise, Einon Rashoim Lakor Raglem Delelech Ad Shigmor Shliach Tzibur B'Sim Shalom. And they shouldn't leave the Duchen. They shouldn't leave the higher area where they normally are until the Chazan has finished the bracha of Sim Shalom, Hamvereches Moisav Vashalom. Tzibur answers Amen, and then theoretically they're allowed to go down. However, it's worth down in Shulchan Aruch that since we say a Kaddish Shalom at that point in time, it's inappropriate that they should be moving down and everybody should be saying Shkayach Kohanim while they're coming down. So therefore the custom is that they wait until the conclusion of the Kaddish Tiskabel that comes after the Chazan says, after he finishes the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei in our Duchening, or in places where they Duchen by Shacharis, the same thing would apply by Shacharis as well. Now, this is on Chutz La'aretz, when we only Duchen on Yontif. On a daily basis, when they Duchen, so they can come down as soon as the Chazan finishes the Bracha on Berech Sveisov B'Shalom, the Tzibur answers Amen, then they can come down, because then they're going to say Tachlin, there is no Kaddish Tiskabel there on a regular weekday. Okay. Gemara continues and tells us another statement from Zera Mechista. V'yomer Zera Mechista, Ein Atzibur Reshoim Lanos Amen, Achetichle Bracha Mipi Akore. Now here we're talking about laning, but it's the same din that we've been speaking about till now. So when the Baal Kore is ready to start the laning, so the person who gets the Aliyah makes the Bracha, Shebracha Banu, and Bracha Hashem Nosein HaTorah, the Chazan shouldn't start the laning until everybody has had a chance to say Amen. Ein HaTzibur Reshoim Lanos Amen, the Tzibur shouldn't answer Amen until the person making the Bracha has finished making the full Bracha, Achetich LeBracha Mipiyat Kore. Now they call it the Kore here because in those days, the Kore would be the one who would read the Aliyah. Everybody read their own Aliyah, right? You still have this in some true Sfarad Minyanim. So in the Eidos HaMidrach, so the person who gets the Aliyah is expected to lay. And one of the reasons behind Shtayim Mikra V'yachad Targum is so you should be prepared to lay whatever Aliyah they may give you. But nowadays, in order not to embarrass people, since the vast majority of people would not be able to lay the Aliyah that they're given to, so therefore we have a Baal Kore. We have one person who goes and does the entire laying. In fact, it's even inappropriate for a person to say, hey, I know Revi. When I get Revi, I'll lay my own, because that would embarrass everybody else. The whole point of this Takana was not to embarrass the people that don't know how to lay. So even if you do know how to lay your Aliyah, the minigus is to let the Baal Kriya go and lay on your behalf. But in those days, that wasn't the case. And as I said, in certain Eidos HaMizrach shuls today, that still is not the case. So therefore, the person is called the Kare. He's the one that makes the bracha. So he makes the bracha, Nosein HaTorah, then the Tzibur answers Amen. He shouldn't begin to lay until the Tzibur has finished Amen. Again, it should be ideally the entire Tzibur, but people should know that they're waiting for them. They shouldn't answer Amen in a long, drawn-out way. Likewise, Rosera or Chista continues, says, Ein HaKore Rashay Likros, the person who is laning should not start the laning. Ein HaKore Rashay Likros B'Torah Ad Sheyichlo Amen Pi HaTzibur. He has to wait until the entire Tzibur answers Amen to his bracha. So again, what he taught us is that the Tzibur shouldn't answer Amen until the bracha is totally finished, and the person shouldn't start laning until the Tzibur fully answers Amen. Ashikla Amen Mipi HaTzibur. Fine. The Ein HaMetagim, a similar din, is in those days, again, we don't have this today, again, in some Eidot HaMizrach, they still had this custom, that somebody reads after each Pasuk the vernacular tongue, which was Aramaic. So they read the Targum, they read Targum Unkelis after each Pasuk. So in those places where they still do that today, and during the times of the Gemara, most of the people were Amoratsim. They didn't understand the Chumash, they only understood their vernacular Aramaic. So they would translate each Pasuk into Aramaic. So therefore, that was called the Metargim, the one who translated into Targum. So then a Metargim, Rashi Lahaskel, Metargim, Ashiyach LePasuk Piakore. So you can't start the Targum until the person who's laning has finished laning that Pasuk. So Rashi Baruch Kim Es Shemayim Es Aretz. So you have to wait till he says Es Shemayim Es Aretz. He finishes, then you can go and teach it into Aramaic. Then once the Metargim is done with Taichi, the full Pasuk, and only when he's fully done can you start reading the next Pasuk. And that's what the next din is. The same din applies. This is a din throughout. It's not only the din that we're mentioning here. As I mentioned, this is true. Brachos every morning. This is true for the Shchazar Sashatz every day. This is the rule that you can't start the next words until the Amen is done. You can't say the Amen until the person is done making the full Bracha. So to over here, the Baal Kare cannot continue in the next Pasuk until the Metagim is done reading. Now we have a number of other dinim. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Shuvan Levi. Rabbi Tanchum says, "Name Rabbi Shuvan Levi, Hamatir Ben Avi, Tzarech Shikra B'Torah Tchila." The person who's given the schus to say the Haftorah, we consider that a great schus. So it's actually not as big as a schus as all the people getting irregularly in the Torah. So as a consolation prize that he only got to read from Nach, from Navi, so therefore we also give him what's called the Maftir Aliyah. We also give him Pesukim to read from the Torah. So you shouldn't say, oh, I only got the Navi. And as well, people shouldn't think that they're all equal. Oh, Navi, Torah, same thing. No, as great and holy as the Nach is, it's not the Torah. So therefore, we want to give this person who gets the Navi, the Haftorah, to also read a little bit from the Torah. So therefore, we make an extra aliyah known as Maftir. Now, technically, min hadin, you only need 7 aliyahs in Shabbos, and the 7th person could be both the 7th aliyah and Maftir, and then he reads the Haftorah. However, the custom in almost all cases is that you have 7 aliyahs, then we have the Kaddish, and then we have a separate aliyah where we repeat the last Pesukim. And certainly, when we take out 2 Sifrei Torah, that's the common way that it's done, although technically, you really only need 7 aliyahs on a Shabbos, and you could do that with having the last person, the 7th aliyah, being both the 7th aliyah, Shvi, as well as Maftir, albeit our custom is to separate the two. Then we have another din. Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Shimon Levi says another din in the name of Shimon Levi. Ein amafti, Rashi lahafti ben Avi, Achi Yigol El Sefer Torah. There's another din that people sometimes mistakenly do, and that is they're in a rush. So as soon as they do Hagbah, the person starts the brachos of the Haftorah. But you can't do that. You're supposed to wait until Galilah is done. Now their Galilah is really Hagbah. Achi Yigol El Sefer Torah, that really means until Hagbah is done, and the Sefer Torah is at least closed. We do, our custom is that we wait not only until the Sefer Torah is closed, but until you put the gartel around the Sefer Torah, until you put the mappa on top, the mantle on top of the Sefer Torah. But technically, once the Sefer Torah is closed, you could really begin the maftir, if there is a second sefer, or the haftorah, if there's only one sefer. But again, our minhag is not to also make it look like we're in a rush to get done with things. We finish off one mitzvah, and only then do we do the next mitzvah. Einos in mitzvahs, chavilas, chavilas. So there are a number of reasons why we wait specifically. Here, we're doing this so that you should not have the people that are doing the Hagbah and Galilah missing out on the Haftorah. They're going to want to hear the Haftorah, so we let them finish off their Hagbah and Galilah, and then everything is done. Now everybody can listen to the Haftorah. Another statement from Rabbi Tanchum in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi. I'm Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Shimon Levi. In Shleil Tzibar Rashoy, Lahavshi Desateva B'Tzibar, Ipnei Kvod Tzibar. Now here we need a little explanation of what's going on. This is not the way we do things today. So Rashi, in Dibra Maskul, Lahavshi Desateva B'Tzibar, tells us, Kol Zman Shatibu V'Veis HaKnesses, when the people were in the shul, so the people in the shul, Kozman Shatzibo, Bevesa Knesses, that was their custom that they didn't have the Sefer Torah, they didn't have an Aron Kodesh. The Sefer Torah was kept under lock and key, secure in another place, and then when they needed to lay in it, they would bring it in from the other place, and they would bring it into the Beis HaKnesses. And what they would do then is, uparsim begodim noyim, they would put out beautiful curtains and clothing and various types of parochises, saviv ha-teva, around the teva. The teva here means the bima. So imagine an elevated bima, and they would have all these beautiful curtains that they would have to now put up around it. They didn't have it up all the time. And then, once these curtains are up, now it's beautified, they would go bring in the Sefer Torah and put it down on the bima. After the laning was done, and they wanted to bring the Sefer Torah back to the secure place, the room outside of the Beis HaKnesses, so the note in Sefer Torah, lo licho lo bayis ha-mishtamer bo, they would bring it back to the safe house. So lo yafshitu abogadim, what the Gemara is telling us is, don't take off all these curtains, don't take off all these beautiful cloths and tapestries, min hateva, from the surrounding bima, Mipnei Hatzibur Shetore Hatzibur La'akiv Shom Im Sefer Torah. We don't want to delay everybody. If you take down the tapestries, that's like bedtime. The last thing we want to do is have Tircha L'Tzibura. So therefore, take the Sefer Torah out while the tapestries are still up. Ela Molich Sefer Torah Lebei. So bring the Sefer Torah to the secure house, Umeinicho, and then you can leave it there. And the people are done. The davening is over. Va'am Yotzim Achra, and the people go out and follow the Sefer Torah to the secure house. V'achakach Huba, let the Gabbai come back afterwards, Umav Shinas HaTeva, and go take down these tapestries that are around the Teva. Everybody else doesn't have to wait for him to do that. That's not essential. That was for cover for the Sefer Torah. So continue to give cover to the Sefer Torah. Take the Sefer Torah out as fast as you as is possible. Let all the people follow the Sefer Torah out. And then the Gabbai will come back and take down these curtains and tapestries that are around the Bima. Another statement from Rabbi Tam Chonam Rishu and Levi. Rabbi Tam Chonam Rishu and Levi. Ein Atzibur Rashayin Lot says, Ad Shi, not tell Sefer Torah V'nich M'komo. The people aren't allowed to leave the shul until the Sefer Torah is taken out and brought to this safe house. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel disagrees or seems to disagree. He says, Ad Shi Yetze. He says, until the Sefer Torah has left the shul. So what exactly is the difference over here? Ad Shi, not tell Sefer Torah V'nich M'komo, until it's put into its safe place, or until the Sefer Torah has left the shul, but not yet in the safe place. So what's the difference between them? They're not really arguing, but they're talking about different scenarios. That statement of Yeshua Belevi, that you aren't allowed to leave until the Sefer Torah is put back into its place, that is when there is another Pesach, and the people could go out the other Pesach and go escort the Sefer Torah going out the other Pesach. So therefore, it's not a problem if they go out through the other Pesach. However, when Shmuel said that you can't go out, actually say Sefer Torah from that Pesach is Hodeleka, Pischo Achrina, when there is no other exit way. Now, this doesn't seem to flow so well from the words, and that's why the Rif and the Rush are not goreis the words in Rabbi Tanchum and Rishon Levi, and at Sibir Rashoim Lot says, Achi Noto Sefer Torah V'yoniach B'mekomo. They take out the words V'yoniach B'mekomo, and they just have until Achi Noto Sefer Torah. So now it makes a little bit more sense to say that the Tzibur is allowed to leave when there's two exits. As soon as you take the Sefer Torah off the Bima and you're starting to carry it out, let's say on the eastern exit, and some people are going to go out on the southern exit, and they'll meet up, and they'll escort the Sefer Torah that way. This way, you can go out the second exit as soon as the Sefer Torah is picked up. Or Shmuel says there's only one exit, so you can't go ahead of the Sefer Torah. That's not proper, so everybody should follow along behind in the Sefer Torah. The Gemara concludes, it says, Amar Rava Bar Ahina. Bar Ahina was the name of a person. It's not Rava Bar Ahina. Amar Rava. Rava tells us that Bar Ahina, the name of this person, is Bar Ahina, or the son of Ahina. He told me, Asbra Li, he taught me, the reason behind this is because Achrei Hashem Lokechem Teilecho. A person has to walk, follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what exactly does this mean? So we're supposed to follow and emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here it literally is meaning that you're supposed to follow the Sefer Torah. This is why the custom had that people go and they try to walk at least Dalet Amos towards the Sefer Torah, behind the Sefer Torah in some way. In a large shul, you can't have the entire shul try to clamor and move to be behind the Sefer Torah. So if a person moves just Dalet Amos, that's acceptable. You're giving kavod la Torah. Gemara continues and tells us, "Bizman shakohanim mevarchim esam." When the kohanim are duchening and giving the brachas to the people, they're saying the psukim, "Ma hein omrim." What do the people say at that point in time? And if you notice, of course, in many sidurim machzorim, there are little words psukim that are formulated after each word of the birchas kohanim. So after yivarecho, there's a little pasuk. Hashem, there's a pasuk. Yishmerecho, there's a pasuk. So do you or do you not say things like that? Now, Lamaisa, the minhag is that you should just look at those with your eyes, but you shouldn't actually say them. There should be no hefsik, there should be nothing that you're doing other than basking in the bracha that the Kohanim are giving you. However, you're allowed to think of those psukim and to look at them with your eyes, but you shouldn't verbalize them. But the Gemara is now not at that point yet in time. In the Psak Halacha, the Gemara is saying, what should the Tzibur do while they're getting the bracha from the Kohanim? So Amar Rav Zeir Amar Rav Chisda, here again, Rav Zeir Amar Chisda tells us they say various psukim themselves. So when the Kohanim say Yivarech Hashem V'Yishmerecha, so the Yidden, the Klai Yisrael, they say Baruch Hashem Malachov Gibor Koch V'Gomer. They say this pasuk. These are all psukim from Tehillim, and they're all from the same kapitul, kapitul Kuv Gimel. And you say these three psukim: Baruch Hashem Malachav Gibor Yekov Ugo. Hashem should bless all the malachim, all of his army that do what he says that they should do. And the next pasuk: Baruch Hashem Kol Tzva Besharsav Osei Ritzono. Should bless all those that do his bidding. And And the third pasuk, Baruch Hashem kol ma'isav, all Hashem should bless all of His creations. B'chol mekom uzmem shalto, all over the world where He reigns. Baruch Hinav she'es Hashem, and Hashem should please bless our soul. So that's what the tzibur says in response to the psukim of Birchas Kohanim. That's by Shachar's time. Again, they used to duchen at every tefillah. So, b'musafi d'shabbos, and on Shabbos, when there's a musaf, the same thing would apply in Rosh Chodesh, mahino, I mean, what would they say? So, Rav Asi said, they would say the following three psukim, also from Tehillim, in Kapitul Kuf Lamid Dalid, and they would say, Shamalos, Hini Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Adi Hashem Begomer. They would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please bless all those that serve you. Suyi Dechem Kodesh Baruch Hu Hashem, this pasuk we had previously, raise up your hands and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Baruch Hashem Itzion Shochin Shaloyim Haluka. So here, this is also from the next kapitel from Kuf Lamid Hey. So we ask Hashem, we say to Hashem, you are blessed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you dwell in your Shalayim, Haluka. So the Gemara asks, why didn't we just finish off with a pasuk from Kuf Lamid Dalet? Why did we do the last pasuk from Kuf Lamid Hey? Lei Manami Yivrech Hashem Itzion. Why didn't we do that pasuk? It's another bracha. So we should have said that. That's in Kapitel Kuf Lamid Dalet. Why did we skip the Kuf Lamid Hey? So the Gemara says, because I'm Yehuda Brei the Rabbi Shimon Min Pazi, Yehuda, who's the son of Shimon Min Pazi, said, because Mitok Shehischel Bibrichosu Shalakodesh Baruch Hu, Messiah Bibrichosu Shalakodesh Baruch Hu. The first two psukim in Kuf Lamid Dalet that we read dealt with the blessings that we are announcing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessed, not that He's blessing us. The third pasuk is Him blessing us. Therefore, it's appropriate to go to Kuf Lamed Hey with a bracha where we are blessing Hashem, so to say. Okay. Now, they would lay on a mincha at a tainis, and they would duchen as well. So, b'mechos at the tanisa, at mincha of a tainis day, they would also duchen. So, what would be the appropriate tefillah that the tzibur should say then? My amit, what would the people say? So, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, im avoneinu, anu banu, Hashem asel man shmecha. If, unfortunately, we have sins that are testifying against us, so we beseech you, Hashem, that you should save us in your honor. Likewise, mikvah Yisrael, Moshio, b'yeis tzara, lo matyeh, kiger, baretz v'gomer. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please redeem us. Why should you be like a stranger to us? And the third pasuk is Lomatiak Ish Nidham. Why should be like a man who is shocked? Kigibor Layuchal Loshiv Gomer, like a strong person who's incapable of saving us. So that's the appropriate things on a day of tainis, a day of sadness somewhat, day of tainis. So that's what we say. We turn to Daf Mem Omer Aleph. On the Ilah, bin Ilah, when they also were duchen, ideally, the Ilah should be said while the sun is still up. It's been the closing of the day as the sun is coming down. That's when you start Ni'ilah. So, Bini'ilah, the Yom Kippur, Ni'ilah of Yom Kippur, they would duchen then as well. So, my Omer, what would you say in the Yisrael's response? Omer Marzutra, Vyamilah bin Masnisa, we did the Marzutra, or it was actually in a Braisa. The Yisraelim would say these three psukim. Hinei Chichein Nivarach Geva Yirei Hashem. Blesses a person who fears the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yivarech Hashem Mitzion, Rebbe Tuv Yishloim Koy Mechayecha. Hakodesh Baruch Hu should bless us from Tzion, and He should look at the goodness of Yerushalayim all the days of life, all of eternity. Urevon Levanech Hashom Yisrael. The third pasuk is that may we see children born to our children, and let there be peace for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so these are the different duchenings. These are the different psukim that we go and say. Now the Gemara asks, Hey Chanomim, when do we say these psukim? So Rabbi Yosef Amar, Bein Kol Bracha Bracha, that these psukim, that the Klal Yisrael responds to the Birchas Kohanim, are said at the conclusion of each pasuk. So the Kohanim say, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, and then we would say our first pasuk. The Kohanim would say, Yeah, Hashem Panav Elach Yichunecha, and then we would say our second pasuk. And the Kohanim would say their third pasuk, and we would say our third pasuk for each of these days, Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. However, the Gemara brings down Rav Sheshis' opinion. Rav Sheshis Amar, Bihaskaras Hashem. No, we would say when the Kohanim, in each one of the three psukim of the Kohanim, there is the Shem of Hashem. So at the conclusion of the Shem of Hashem, instead of saying like Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, we, Klal Yisrael, would respond with one of those three brachos, first one for the first pasuk, second one for the second pasuk, third one for the third pasuk. That's Rav Sheshis' opinion. Now, Pligibah, Rav Mari, Rav Zvid. Rav Mari and Rav Zvid had a machlokas. We don't know which one said which. Chadamar, Psukah, Lekabel, Psukah. One said, like the first version that we had, they would say a pasuk, we would say a pasuk. They would say a pasuk, we would say a pasuk. They would say a pasuk, we would say a pasuk. Each pasuk, the Kohanim said the Yisrael would respond. The Chanamar, Akol Pasuk, Amalahu Lekulu. And the other version over here was that the Kohanim would say one pasuk and we would say three pasukim. The Kohanim would say with their second pasuk, we would say all three pasukim. The Kohanim would say with their third pasuk and we would say all three pasukim. Okay. That's again, none of these are our minhag today. Amar Ruchiyah Bar Abba, Kol Omram Bigvulin, Einu El Toeh. So we follow what Ruchiyah Bar Abba said. He said, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, this wasn't the accepted custom. You shouldn't say along any psukim. You should just let the bracha of the Kohanim flow upon you without saying anything. However, while that's what we do, there are other Amorim that disagreed. Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, he said, no. Rav Chanina bar Papa said, Teida, de Mikdash, nami lo miboy lememru. He said, even in the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't go and say these words because it's inappropriate. He agrees with Rav Chanina bar Abba, it's inappropriate to say it in the Gvulim, but he says it's even inappropriate to say it in the Beis HaMikdash because, klum leishlecha evit, shemavarchan oso, ve'eno ma'azin, if you're getting a bracha from the master, should you interrupt it with saying something? No, just sit there and let the bracha come on you. So even in the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Chanina bar Papa goes one step further to Rav Chanina bar Abba, and he says that even in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yisraelim didn't respond. Rav Chiya bar Abba agreed that in the Gvulin, which is the minhag that we do today, that we do not respond. Then we have an opinion of the other extreme. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, he says, I disagree with both of you. Teida, the Begvulin, nami miboy lememnu. Not only in the Beis HaMikdash, like Rav Chiya bar Abba said, but even in the Gvulin, against what Rav Chiya bar Abba and what Rav Chanina bar Papa said, I say that you say the psukim even in the Gvulin, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Because, klum yesh evit, shemavarchan oso, vein mas bir ponim, if you're getting a bracha from your master, shouldn't you say thank you? Shouldn't you do something to show your appreciation? So therefore, he says that you should respond. What's the halacha l'maisa? Amar Rav Yavo. Rav Yavo said, originally, havamidalu. I said the psukim. However, kiva dechazina leil Rabbi Abba debin Akko delomelu. When I saw that the great Rabbi Abba, who came from Akko, did not say anything, so then that's what I do as well. Ano nami lo aminalu. I also do not say anything. And that is the halacha l'maisa that is brought down, that when the Kohanim bless us, we should just, if you wish to look intently at the words in the siddur or the machzer that show you these various psukim that the custom is to say, but we don't actually say them, we just let the bracha bask upon us, mitzvah shem v'shul b'zochah, to be the recipients of the true bechas kohanim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With that, we conclude today's shiur.